Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. I'd like to justify what I'm going to preach on today just a bit, because it's a little deep. So first let me say that the gospel today, the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and then the parable of the Good Samaritan, these things are very important. Do we all agree that they're very important? Good. However, we've been talking about the moral life for an entire year, and I don't think I need to explain it anymore. Right? I think you get it. Yes, I'm supposed to love God and my neighbor. I think this is pretty clear in your mind, so I don't think that I need to explain it. And we also have this weekend the second reading, which is less practical, but one of the most profound passages in all of Scripture, because in five verses, it completely shifts our perception of reality. And I think that's important too. And so I'm going to focus on that one, even though it's a little bit deeper. And I ask that you stick with me. Now, yesterday, everybody looked at me like I was talking insanity. It did not connect at all. Earlier this morning, I didn't make it. So the reality is we're going to hope that this homily comes through. But that means I need you to all be very engaged and help me, okay? Okay. Good. So let's start with this. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Already, we're in deep waters. How do you make an image of something invisible? And the reality here is that St. Paul is revealing to us what goes on in the life of the Trinity, which we've talked about, but it's been a long time. So, I want you right now to all think about yourself. Think about yourself. Who are you thinking about? It's a little weak, but that's fine. All right. Who's doing the thinking? Me. And so both the thinker and the one thought about are me. But there's a distinction there. Now, if you knew yourself perfectly, then your self-image would be perfectly like you in every way, except for the distinction that one is doing the thinking and the other is the one thought about. Do y'all get that? So this is the deepest part of the homily. Do y'all get that so far? Yes, okay, good. That's what happens in God. God the Father, knowing himself completely, expresses himself completely in his Son, who is his Word, who is his image, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, perfectly like the Father in every possible way, except the Father is the one thinking and the Son is the one thought about. Now, let's look at this next part. For in him were created all things, in Jesus were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now, let's say you wanted to go paint a painting of something random. What's the first step? What's the very first step in painting a painting? Is it getting a canvas? No. Is it getting brushes? No. Is it putting any paint on the canvas? Of course not. The very first thing you do is you decide what to paint. You think about what to paint. You have the plan or the image of what to paint in your head. And only then do you go out into reality and paint it. So in the same way, God the Father, knowing himself completely, expressing himself completely in his Son, also knows everything he does and can do. And therefore, all the plans, all the ideas, all the truths of everything that exists are first in Jesus. Jesus contains within himself the blueprints of everything that exists. That's why St. Paul says, in him are all things, and through him all things were created. This is huge. We hear this also in the Gospel of John. The New Testament talks about this a lot. St. Paul is going to go on to say, just a few verses later in the same letter, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures. If you know calculus, it's in Jesus. If you know history, it's in Jesus. If you know who LSU needs to get to be their head coach so that they can win a national championship, it's in Jesus. And please let us know as well. The reality, dear brothers and sisters, is that the truth, the wisdom, the blueprint of everything is in Christ as God. But then God becomes man. And that's where St. Paul shifts. He's doing this deliberately. So he's talking about God, the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, becomes man. And so he shifts orders. It's like that. See, you don't understand it unless you see my hands. You see, the hands express everything. It's like that. You see how clear that is? All right, anyway. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things he himself might be preeminent. So, dear brothers and sisters, not only as God does everything that exists have its place in his mind, as man, every way of being good, every way of being holy is found in him. Some of you are young, but how many of you remember the 90s when it was cool to be Christian for about 5 seconds? Raise your hand. You all remember that? And we all wore bracelets. What were the bracelets? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that's completely right. Except the point is that we're not going to imitate Jesus as if he's some person that we're faking until we make it. The point is that every single way of being holy is already found in him. To use another analogy, he's like a white light, and the church is the prism that shows all the colors that are in Jesus. So you look at St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas is very smart. He represents the wisdom of Jesus, lived the wisdom of Jesus, and imbued the wisdom of Jesus. Therese was very sweet. She was sweet with the sweetness of Jesus. Francis was very poor, very self-denying, self-controlled. That all comes from Jesus. Every possible way of being holy is in him. But that doesn't mean that we're all like each other. Just like flies and cats and galaxies are all in him as God, so all the various different ways of being holy are in him as the head of the church. And that's incredible, because that means that what would Jesus do kind of changes for every single one of us. I mean, the basics are the same, you know, don't go around murdering people. But the reality of what we're each called to is distinct, it's different, it's unique. We're all our own little special snowflakes. We're all called to a unique holiness that is not replicated by anybody else, but is still found in him. If you look at every saint, there's some superficial similarities, but every saint is radically different from every other saint, and they're all radically like him. And to me, that's a big deal. And let's come to this last part. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to him for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. So, let's take a moment. As God, everything that exists is in his mind. As man, every way of being holy is present in him. But the reality is that both the universe and us, we're a little divided, huh? I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's some division in the world today. Have y'all picked up on that at all? But if we're already united in him, because he has the plans of everything, we'll also be reunited through him. And so we've talked about him in his Godhead and in his humanity. And now what I'm going to say is that that last part's the Eucharist. Right? We talk about communion. Communion between God and man. Communion with each other. Communion which builds community. He's coming today to this altar, not just to show the marvelousness of creation, not just to teach us all our individual ways of holiness, but also to reunite us, to knit us back together with each other and with him. Is that deep? Yeah. But it's also part of our faith. This is not a head game. This is not ivory tower thinking. God revealed this to us for a reason. And I strongly suspect the reason is so that we never reduce being Catholic to just jumping through hoops or following rules. That it's connected to something deeper. That morality is, of course, very important, but morality is connected to mystery. Morality is connected to mystery. There is a mystery at the core of the universe, at the core of reality. And when we live our Catholic faith, we're not just being good boys and girls. We are connected to the mystery that all of existence proclaims. That matters to me. I hope it matters to you. And dear brothers and sisters, let's look at the consequences of this, right? I said this on Facebook, but it's important. We get stuck in the trap of saying, I have to apply my faith to real life. Or I have to take my faith and make room for it in my life. Do you have to make room for gravity? I don't want to make room for gravity. Do you have to make room for gravity? Do you have to make room for color? Do you have to make room for sound? Or is it just there? If you told me, Father Sensat, I need to figure out a way to apply color to my life, I'd be like, are you sick? If not, open your eyes. It's there. It's right there. It's all around you. You don't have to apply it. It's already there. And dear brothers and sisters, this is what St. Paul is telling us. Everything that exists is already rooted in Christ. Every form of ethical living is already rooted in Christ. The whole goal of our life, all of our love, all of our society, all of our communion, if it's real, it's already rooted in Christ. We just got to open our eyes. We don't need to flee the world. We just need to see the world and see Christ in it. That, to me, is magnificent. It's one of the most beautiful, most shattering parts of our faith. And I'd like you to try and sit with it this weekend. Because yes, we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yes, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And yes, we need to live out the parable of the Good Samaritan. All very important. But if we take our faith and reduce it to just practical action, and don't realize the greater mystery that it's a part of, then we're missing half of what Jesus is trying to tell us. God bless you all.